Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing guy. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back, 17 to the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. We got having a great visit with our good friend Ravi Hutisingh. Ravi is still in Chile, and He's been sequestered there since the coronavirus broke out, but he's making a good use of his time by working on his book called Pivot, and it's all about the future of education. Robbie, thanks again for hanging out with us. One of the things that I've been doing, and I know you have been too, is looking at the implications of the coronavirus pandemic, and maybe even identifying the silver linings. There are some things that are popping out, but the thing that's happening the most to me is what's being revealed about this. And one of the things that's being revealed is a lack of ubiquity of broadband connectivity to all the school children in America. It's that if anybody wants to protest an inequity, that's one of them, and it's not any particular demographic that's being discriminated against by not having a ubiquity of broadband. What do you think?
Oh, Jim, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, that is exactly the case. And, you know, when I started writing my book probably almost 2 years ago, and it's called Pivot, How Small Shifts in Education Make Big Changes in the World. And the reason why I've been struggling to finish it is because I only figured out why once the COVID-19 hit, because all of a sudden the future became now. I've been writing about the future, and all of a sudden the future was here, how technology is going to revolutionize and create equity in education. And you know what? It did the opposite. Mm-hmm. It actually did the opposite because we weren't prepared for it because we didn't have broadband. And, you know, if anyone, as I do, believes that education is a right, I think we have to also then agree that broadband has to be right as well.
It has to be part of that, doesn't it? You know, one of the things that I've mentioned to you, I'm working with a group of people trying to make broadband ubiquity across our community. And I'm talking about out to the last mile. That's a term that I think more and more people need to be thinking about, the last mile concept, meaning how do we get the same service to the person at the end of a long road with one density of one? How do we get that person the same broadband as the person who's a block away from the hub and from the head end? And how do we do that? And that takes a commitment. But what I was going to say is, 6 months ago, I was having to explain the importance of distance learning, remote working, and telemedicine to stakeholders, to elected stakeholders. Today, I don't have to explain any of that. They get it now. You see
exactly
what I mean? So coronavirus has helped us in that process. What do you think?
Absolutely, and this is a worldwide thing. We're seeing it here in Chile. We're seeing it all around. We're seeing the limitations of technology, and these are solvable, but the limitations are being shown. And it's not just in education, as you pointed out. It's with people working from home, and, you know, there's certain jobs that can be done remotely, mm-hmm. certain jobs that maybe can't be. And so greater disparity is caused by that. And then also what I'm finding, you know, I think we're discovering, again, worldwide, is it's not even just broadband, but when it comes to education, you know, families don't necessarily have enough computers for each child to be on during the same hours with their students, so mm-hmm. with their teachers. So, you know, there's a number of issues that create a greater disparity due to a family's access now.
Well, schools used to provide books for children. Now those books are mostly digital, If you're not going to provide them with books, then you got to provide them with the tools to be able to read those digital books.
That's right. And I have to say, I think a lot of schools, especially in the United States, have risen to the occasion. And are, you know, it may not have been smooth or quick at the beginning, but we didn't have any warning. You know, this almost happened overnight. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I talk to the education community about now through my blogs, which your listeners can read at RaviUnites.com, is talking about, we didn't have time to pivot into a coronavirus world, but we do have time to pivot out of it. So what are we doing to make sure that the transition back into what we think of as a normal life, or what will probably be a hybrid life between education through technology and education in a classroom, how do we pivot back to make sure that we have enough remediation and bring every student back to some form of standard? And I don't necessarily mean standardized testing and things like that, which are, of course, out the window this year. Mm-hmm. But we have to, at some point, be able to bring everybody back to a place where we can even say, okay, you belong in this grade, you know, if we're going to continue to have an education system based on grades.
Part of this,
we don't even have any assessment data.
Part of this is a reordering of resources, too, isn't it? I mean, the so much of education probably is still heavily influenced by the 20th century model, which probably maybe even be a little bit 19th century model. But I mean, as advanced as education is today, technologically, there's still some resource allocation that isn't quite 21st century. What do you think?
I think that's true, but I think, you know, that's why I mentioned that I think we're going to get into a hybrid model, because I'm often telling people, educators, you know, let's look back into the 19th century and 20th century, and for those who say this is the way we've always done it,
Robbie, hold that thought.
Why this is the way we've always
done
it.
I got to take a quick break.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.